Oh, take my mask off. Morning, everybody. I'd like to add my welcome to you all. It's lovely to join together and just fix our eyes on Jesus and just focus on him for a while, isn't it? It's just does our souls good to look at our God. We're going to carry on, as Tim has said, on our series, Built to Last. We have looked at the Father's heart, how great his love is, how he never disappoints. We have heard how his love meant that he wanted to redeem us, he wanted to save us, he wanted to make a way for us to go to him, and so he sent Jesus to the cross. And we've heard that though we are unworthy, God pours his grace and grace and grace upon us. And you know, you can just reel that off and forget the just amazingness of that truth, those truths, each one on their own is just incredible. And yet there's more of God wants to take us into and set our building upon. You know, I don't know if you're one of those who is just checking your foundations are strong and just making sure they're okay, a good caretaker of your house, that you're just checking that everything's well, or your foundations need repairing a little bit because they've come unbashed and worn, or that actually you're building new foundations for something new. I don't know what God has got in store for you, but I know that he wants us to just come to him and hear from him and just make sure our foundations are secure and strong. And so we're going to move on now to me, just the most amazing truth of all, that I am a child of God, that we are children of God. And that is just the foundation of all that comes after. That because of Jesus, because of the communion we've celebrated, that we are children of God. 1 John 3:1 in the NIV says, "See what manner of love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are." And in the Amplified it says, "See what an incredible quality of love the Father has shown to us, that we would be permitted to be named and called and counted the children of God, and so we are." God has made us part of his family, his children. He has decided before the world began in advance to adopt us and make us his own, bringing us into his family. I was reminded of a hymn, actually, as I was preparing this, and I looked it up yesterday because I was getting the words muddled. And it says, "Oh, the deep, deep love of Jesus, vast, unmeasured, boundless, free, rolling as a mighty ocean in its fullness over me. Underneath me, all around me, is the current of thy love." You know, God is just incredible, isn't he? Isn't he just amazing? The love that he shows to us and makes us his own. You know, just having a father heart and sending Jesus would have been enough, but he chooses to go further. I looked up the word lavish in the dictionary, and the first three that came up said this: he bestows something in a generous manner. It means to bestow in a generous manner. God bestows his love in a generous manner. But actually the next one said that lavish meant extravagant, wild, excessive, shower, pour, heap, deluge. God excessively loves us, so he made us his children. God is wildly in love with us, so he makes us his children. God is showering his love upon us. And the last definition that came up said, to give in great amount without limit. I mean, God is just incredible, isn't he? Isn't he just amazing? That because he loves so wildly and excessively, without limit, he is counting us as his children today. That one-to-one relationship with him. He's calling us all, but he's calling you and he's calling me. He's my dad and I'm his child. You're his child. He's your father. I'm a teacher in my working life, and we have to look at words quite a lot. And so I obviously looked at is and are, and they are verbs, and they are called being verbs, verbs of being. And they show the state of existence of the subject. We are the subject, and our existence is as children of God. They identify who or what the subject is. They identify that we are children of God. They express no action, but link the subject, me, you, to an identity. Our identity as children of God. That is what we are. It's now. It's happening. It's present. It's not when you're good enough or when I'm good enough. It's now. It's our identity. It's our existence. Our very existence is as children of God. You know, God's desire is for us to take hold of that identity more and more and more. My dad was a good dad. He was. But I become more and more convinced if I rely on him as my perception of God, as my dad, I'm going to miss out. Because although he was a good dad to me, he wasn't the father. He wasn't Father God, and he did things wrong. The same as me as a parent, I do them wrong. And so, and if you had a bad experience of a father or no experience of a father, that isn't what we're talking about. We're talking about that Father God, that Father heart of God, who loves you wildly and excessively and loved you so much without limit that he wanted you to be his child. And he calls you and he names you as his child. We have three children, and they are all whites, but they have individual names. They are called by their names. I might mix them up sometimes, but you know, God doesn't mix our names up, does he? He calls us and counts us as his. He calls us by name. I think Andrew and I, between us, have about 18 nephews and nieces. I have 8 on my side of the family, and three of the children, my nephews and nieces, are adopted. My sister's daughter is adopted, and my brother's daughter and one of his sons is adopted. They have been with our family, one of them for 30 years, one of them for nearly 19 years, and one of them for just over 12 years. And they are in the family. So when God says we're adopted in his family, we're not second best. I don't think at Christmas, oh, well, they're adopted, so I'll get them a little present, or I'll make them sit in another room, or only give them something little. In all honesty, it's only on occasions like this that I ever remember they are adopted, because they are family. And God is calling us into his family. That much, that sense of belonging, that sense of being part of him and in relationship with him. Galatians 4:7 says, now you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And being a child speaks of relationship. Two-way. You can't be a child without a father. You can't be a father without a child. It's a two-way thing. It's one-to-one. It's him. Parent to child, child to parent. In the story of the prodigal son, we've looked at it loads of times before, but the younger son goes away and comes back, and the older brother was jealous when his dad killed the fatted calf. And he hadn't grasped his position. He hadn't fully grasped who he was. He didn't live as a son in its totality. His mentality, his thinking, was not that of someone that was fully a son. His dad said to him, everything I have is yours. And yet that's not how he'd been living. And God wants us to grasp and take hold of more of living as his child. He delights in us, and he wants us to know with certainty that relationship one-to-one with him. everything that follows on from being his children, the status, the position, the authority, the responsibility, the discipline, depends on knowing that God loves me lavishly, loves you lavishly, and calls me his own, calls you his own. He delights in calling me his. He delights in calling you his. We will find it much harder to accept responsibility and find it much harder when God comes along and says, you know, Kelsey, you need to put that down now. You need to let go of that. I need to change that in you. If I don't know and I'm secure in that relationship with him. So all that comes on after this, because it's no good building foundations without building a building on top of it, needs to be built on this knowledge that we are his child, that he has called us by name, that he counts you as his. 1 Peter 2:10 in the Passion says, "For at one time you were not God's people, but now you are. At one time you knew nothing of God's mercy because you hadn't received it yet, but now you are drenched with it, fully loved, lavishly loved, delighted in. You are his." We are right now God's children. That's our identity. And all my other identities as a wife, as a mother, as a teacher, as a sister, as a daughter, all of those are below my identity as his child. That's where my foundation has to be. That's what I need to stand on. That's what we need to stand on. Our identity as a precious, loved child of God. So what is a good father like? We've spent a lot of time thinking about this, but you can't talk about being a child without talking about the parent. And we have a picture at home of Rosie, our daughter. I must just apologise actually to my children. My dad was a preacher, a minister, and we used to really tell him off for using us as examples in his talks and messages, and I found how easy it is to do that. So sorry, children, but it's just the way it is. So we have a picture at home of Andrew and Rosie, our daughter, and it was taken the day she was born. It was in the afternoon, and Andrew is just sat there with Rosie on his chest and looking at her. And the look on his face is of total besottedness. Totally in love with this little thing on his chest. This look of complete adoration. And he sat like that for what seems like hours. And you know, at that stage, Rosie hadn't done anything except been born. She hadn't earned his favour. She hadn't given him loads of presents. She hadn't succeeded at school. She'd just been born into our family. And yet, that look of total love was there. That look of total adoration was there. So if you have been born into God's family, he is looking at you with total adoration and total love. And that look of I'll do anything for you. That's how he's looking at you today. We have then had two more children, actually, and that next child and that child after that, we still looked at in that besotted, overwhelmingly loved way. You know, as each of our two sons were born, we would still look at them in adoration. Our love didn't limit, it expanded. It expanded, and God's love keeps expanding. It's without limit. There's not enough love for everyone but you. Okay, his love is just expanding to include you wildly and excessively. We have, as I've said, three children, and boy, are they different. Why, one's a girl and two of them are boys, but they are just so different and so incredible. one of them really makes me laugh. I can be at work and I've had a bad day and he'll come in and he'll just make me laugh and the world's different. One of them is just really attentive to me and just really just, oh, defends me, sticks up for me all the time. Another one is really quiet, but when he comes and puts his head on my lap or my shoulder, and God, a good parent, which God is, celebrates and delights in their differences. I love them, but I love one because he's funny, and I love one because she's so kind-hearted, and I love one because he's such a thinker. So even though you might think, well, I'm not that person, that doesn't matter, because you're God's child and he still loves you and he still counts you as his and he's still wildly and excessively in love with you. You know, as I talk about my children, my heart just expands and is full of love. And as God is thinking about you right now, his heart just is full of love. It's expanding. It's just overflowing. That's how God is thinking of you. I am really proud of my children. I'm not proud because they're beautiful, although in my eyes and Andrew's eyes they are. I'm not proud because of what they've done at school or not done at school. I'm not proud of them because of all their accomplishments. I am just proud of them. I'm just proud of them because they're mine. I just look at them and think, ah, I did that. And actually I didn't, but you know, God looks at us and just, I made that. I'm proud of you. And you know, my kids aren't perfect, but I'm just so proud of them because of who they are. They're mine. And I've already said that God calls us by name, and you know, each of my children are different. They're called by different names, and that's God. It's part of who they are, identity within our family. But actually, they're all my children, and I love them. I have had another picture. I kept having pictures of when my children were little as I was getting ready for this, and it was in the middle of the night. It was dark and it was cold, and I was feeding one of the children and finished, and I was just holding him so close up here that my breath was on his face. He was so close. I was so close to him. I was protecting him in the night and the cold, and I was just so close to him. And God says, get so close as a child that you can feel my breath on your face. That's the God, that's our Father. The one who is calling us into that level of relationship, that closeness, that you can just feel his breath on your face. And actually, a good father, a good parent accepts their children. You know, the father and the prodigal son, he just welcomed his son. You know, one of our children did something really silly, and we had a phone call about it, and I went home and I walked in and said, I've had a phone call. You do know I love you. I would have to say I prayed out in the garden before I went in the house to be able to do that. But actually, I walked in and said, I love you. And we dealt with what happened later. But actually, I accepted him as he was, with the mistake he'd made, and just loved him. And actually, do you know, his shoulders just went like that, because he knew he was still loved. And actually, one thing that came to me yesterday, surprising, was that actually a good parent helps their children to learn to obey, or helps them to obey, because when your children are really little, you say to things like, right, before you get that out, you've got to pick this away, and actually then you go and do it with them. And actually that Holy Spirit still helps us to do that. There are loads of things that a good parent is, but those were just the ones that came to mind. And then I thought, well, what is a child like then in response? And actually, a child knows they are loved. I was the youngest of four, so my dad loved all four of us. But I know he loved me. And actually, the only love I can talk about is his love to me. I know I was loved by him. He loved the others, I'm sure. I'm sure they tell you he did. But I only can tell you that he loved me, because that's what I experienced. And actually, God loves all the children of God. But actually, what he wants you to know is that he loves you as you. Wherever you are in that family, he loves you. And actually, children, because when they're really little, they just accept their love, don't they? They don't think, well, why do you love me, Mum? Or how much do you love me? Or, well, how do I qualify for Mum's love? They just, you tell them you love them and that's it. They think you do. They know you do. And so we can be too adult in our reasoning about God's love and our position as a child. We can elevate it to reasoning and philosophizing, and actually there's a simplicity God is asking us to take hold of today. That means we accept his love without question, and we don't try and reason and justify our deserving of it, but that we just say, okay, God, you love me, I'm coming. It gives them confidence knowing they're loved without question, without needing to justify, to go to their parents over and over and over and over and over again. Can I? When will we? Will you? When? Why? They just, you know, you can be sat doing something when you have small children, and then suddenly you realise there's a child sat on your lap. They've just climbed up. They've just wanted to be with you, just for a little bit. And sometimes they climb up and they go straight away. But they just want to come. They just want to be. They're confident that actually there's that 2 seconds and off they go. They just come over and over again. We used to go camping when our children were little, and one of our children used to need to go to the loo in the night, and I used to say to her, you know, Rosie, you must wake me up. I did have to add that, Rosie, I will be grumpy when you wake me up, but you must wake me up. I don't want you going on your own. And she did. She was so sure that, even though she knew I'd be grumpy, that actually, because I loved her, what I'd said was what I wanted to happen. That she knew that I would get up and go with her. And that sureness, that confidence in being loved, that not needing to question, that if I wake Mum up, will she not love me anymore? That confidence is that simplicity of acceptance of love is where we need to be, without reasoning and justifying our deserving of it. Young children want to do things with their parents. You know, can you come and play with me? Can you read a book with me? Can you just come and do this? Can I be this? Can you watch this? And they just want to do stuff with you all the time. They want to be, they want your attention. And you know, it's so good to want God's attention, because he wants to give it. And actually, as parents, although you get frustrated sometimes, you love that they want you. You love that they want to spend time with you. And as they come to you, do you know what they do, isn't it? They don't care how they come. Young children don't care what state they're in when they come to you. They will come when they're excited. Mum, Dad, wake up, wake up, it's snowing, it's Christmas, it's whatever. They'll come when they're happy, they'll dance you around the room. They'll come when they're hurt and just need you. They'll come when they're worried or sad. We had one child that used to come and say, I'm sad, or I'm cross, or I'm this. He just used to tell you straight up how he was feeling. But he didn't think before he came. He just came in and told us, because he knew he could come. He knew he could come. When they're grumpy, they still come. When they're tired, they still come. Whatever they're feeling, their anxiety, they come. Because children are confident and comfortable in the relationship with their parent. They are happy to come, however they are, into the presence of their father or their mother. And we need to grasp that that is where we are. During this lockdown, I've had to work quite hard, and you know, when I've put my laptop away, I've been 10 or later, I've just felt really tired, and I've a few times I've said in my head to God, I said, look, God, I'm really tired today. I'll come and see you tomorrow when I feel a bit more awake. And God just spoke to me and said, Caris, I want you when you're tired. I want you when you're grumpy. I want you when you're snappy. Okay? That's what God wants us to come. He wants us to see him as our dad. And whatever our concept of dad is, we need to see him as this dad. This dad who is happy for us to come as unhappy or as cross or as angry. We need to come. And he just says, come and be with me. Just come and sit with me for a while. And boy, when we do, you realize, you think, why didn't I do this in the first place? Children love to spend time with their parents, as I said, but you know, they're just, I remember when, you know, I used to stay at home with the kids, and Andrew would come home from work, and this used to actually irritate me a little bit, but he'd walk through the door and the kids would run up to him, Daddy, Daddy, Daddy. You know, the cry of their heart seeing their dad was just exuberance and love and delight. And actually, that's what the Father wants us to be like with him. Dad, I'm so pleased to come into your presence. I'm so pleased to see you. I'm so pleased I'm in relationship with you. I read somewhere, I think it was, oh, here it is. Martin Lloyd-Jones said, let us note the word cry, because it says, doesn't it, the Spirit of the Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Let us note the word cry, Abba, Father. It is a strong word. The apostle has used it deliberately. It means a loud cry. It expresses deep emotion. The spontaneity of the child who sees the Father are not only spontaneity, but confidence. You know, there is no limit to him. We can apply so much adult reasoning to what we need to take hold of as a child. There's a childlike stance that we need to keep as we build upwards. There's a childlike heart that we need to go. That security of relationship between father and child, that what he says is truth. And we need to stop justifying our acceptance of less than God intended. I'm just going to hand over to Anne-Marie she's just going to share some testimony which got sent in earlier this week, and you'll see why.
Morning, church. So when I was growing up, I was continually spoken over of how worthless I was and how I was not wanted. How I was how an appointment for an abortion was made, but was never attended, obviously. I was never told I was loved. And so I believed I was completely unlovable. I was rejected over and over, and this continued into my adulthood. In the beginning of my walk with God, after I'd recommitted my life, I'd kept reading about all the ways that God loved, saw me and how much he loved me. And so I desperately needed to know that. I felt led by God to go through the Bible, pulling out scripture, which spoke of God's love and how he saw me. I wrote these truths down and I carried them everywhere. I read them out loud every day until they became head knowledge. And then I felt God speak to me so that I read them out to myself out loud in front of a mirror every single day. And then finally, through that act of speaking them out over myself, looking myself in their eyes and seeing what God saw, they became heart knowledge. I've had many times since then where the devil has tried to undo that, to unbalance the truths that have been set in my heart of how God loves me and how he sees me and who I am in God. God has been talking to me a lot lately about head belief and heart belief. In Mark 9, 23, 24, it says, and Jesus said to him, all things are possible for one who believes. Immediately the father of the child cried out and said, I believe, help my unbelief. I believe the cry of the father first uttered, was his soul receiving this revelation. And then he responded that he believed. But we all need head knowledge to become heart knowledge. And this is the example of head belief wanting, and head belief, but the wanting of heart belief. This is what I believe I experienced by repeating over and over the truths of the love of God and my identity in him. The power is revealed when we believe in our hearts. In Deuteronomy 4:29, but from there you will seek the Lord your God and you will find him if you search after him with your whole heart and soul. And it repeats that again in Jeremiah 29:12. So I believe heart belief extinguishes all doubt and leads us to a powerful moving in the Holy Spirit, where healing and signs and wonders are an everyday experience as we walk in the heavens outpouring and truly live with heaven here on earth. Thanks.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Anne-Marie. It just fitted in. That was sent to us, and that just fitted in so well because, you know, I'd written a list of things that God said about us, and, you know, that you say I'm royalty, so I am. You say I'm an heir with Christ, so I am. You say that I'm a child of promise, so I am. You say I'm precious in your sight, so I am. You say you look at me and see beauty, so you do. You look at me with unending love. So it's true. You know, God's word is truth. God's word about you is truth. And we need to grasp that because there is so much God has beyond just being his child. But it needs to be a foundation of everything else we take hold of. If we don't, then we can doubt his authority within us. We can doubt that we are children of promise. We can doubt that we have an inheritance that we join with Christ to inherit. We can doubt the totality of what it means to be a child. And so God is desperate for us today just to know the simplicity of knowing I am your child. I felt when I was getting ready for this that there were people who, despite having been Christians for many years, still felt like orphans, that they didn't feel they had been part of the family. And I just really wanted to pray for them, so I'm going to do that. Father, I just thank you that you have made us your children, that you call us one by one by one, by name, to be yours, and your desire is that no one feels or stays in an orphan, as an orphan, but comes into your presence, comes into your family as your child, in relationship with you. So Father, I pray right now, pray against that unbelief, that doubt, that insecurity. And just right now, Father, would you just bring release and bring freedom and bring hope and wholeness and a security that they are no longer orphans, but your child. Amen. Proverbs says, as a man thinks, so he becomes. And today we choose how much of being a child we choose to think and so become. It's not just to feel good, it's to change where we need to change. It's to take hold of what we need to take hold of. If you've, you know, it says, he gives us the Spirit to cry out, Abba, Father, Daddy. So pray for more of the Spirit. Pray for more revelation. Because God wants this to be the foundation from which we go upwards and outwards as a church and as individuals. You know, he loves us wildly and excessively and without limit. And he's desperate that we just accept that and that we listen to the truth of God, not the lies of the enemy. I read somewhere that God knows I'm his child, but the devil knows I'm his child too. And he will do his best because of his jealousy, because that's where he'd like to be. He will do his best to make me doubt that. So let's stand on the truth and the foundation of God and his acceptance of us and his love for us and his calling us one by one, name by name, child by child. And let's retain that childlike stance of not needing to qualify ourselves or justify ourselves, but just that acceptance of God today that we're loved. Father, we are so grateful that just seems inadequate. We are so thankful. We are so in awe. But Father, we are so glad and so full of joy that you choose us to be your child, that you choose us to say, come on, come in my presence. Just come when you're, however you are, just come and sit on my knee. Just feel my breath close to you. Father, we are so grateful. We are so thankful. And we just want to know more and more of what it means to be your child. Amen. I used to say to my children every day when they left for school, I love you, God bless you, have a good day. And that went on when they went out to get the bus, the secondary school, I used to say that. And they always said, love you, Mum. And off they went. And then one day one of them stopped saying it. It nearly broke my heart. And that went on probably for 3 years. He didn't respond. And when he did, oh, the joy that was mine, I can't explain to you. And I just feel there are some people who need to tell God that they love him, that we need to not be, let it become so commonplace that we don't say to God, you know, I love you, Father. I love you, Daddy. Amen. That's me.